You're listening to audio from the West End Community Church in McGregor, Manitoba.
In the middle of this series, and we're talking about the attributes of God. We're talking about the big truths about who God is, because we want to understand and we want to know Him better. And hopefully, one of the things that's going to happen when we go through this is that we are going to be able to take God. Maybe we'll be able to take God out of the box that we've created for Him. Because really, if we're being honest, and if we understand the things that we can understand about God, we know that there is no box that He can fit in. He's too big for that. And so today we want to focus on the truth that God is immutable, that God never changes. And we're starting this morning, like I said, in Psalm 102, and I had intended to read the whole psalm for you, but I'm not going to do that just for the sake of time. But I do want to highlight two verses for you, and they come right near the end of the psalm. Verse 25, I'll start there and I'll just read to verse 27 because this is what it says. Of old you laid the foundation of the earth, and the heavens are the work of your hands. They will perish, but you will remain. They will all wear out like a garment. You will change them like a robe, and they will pass away. But you are the same, and your years have no end. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you for these moments that we have to spend in your word. I thank you for this Sunday where we honor our moms. And Father, I pray that that they would be indeed honored, that they would be lifted up and treated in the way that you intended for today. Father, we're thankful for them. We would not be anywhere without our moms. And thank you for the love they provide, for the duties they perform just daily without any complaint, and just all the things that they do for us that we take for granted so often. God, we thank you for them. And we pray that our time in the Word would be profitable as well this morning. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. A few years ago, Claudette and I took a trip to Prince George, BC to visit my sister and her brother, or my brother-in-law, her husband. It's always interesting for me to go back to those places to see the things that are the same, the place where I grew up, and to see what has changed. On that trip, I actually took the opportunity to go see an old friend in Vanderhoof where I grew up, and I stopped by the house where I grew up, and I was pleased to see my basketball hoop still on the side of the house by attached to the carport. That was the only thing that was the same. Everything else is different, but that was the same. When we moved to the McGregor in 2001, the backyard of our house opened onto a just a field. In fact, that they... I don't know who it was, but someone was farming it. Now, today, that same field is full of houses. It's an entire neighborhood behind our house. The point is that things change. There's things that are always changing. I had intended to show you a little bit of a slideshow. I'm not going to do that, but I am going to show you one picture because this is proof that things change. That's me. And this is me. Can you believe the change? I remember once my grandma, my English grandma, I remember her saying once, when someone asked her how she was, she said, "The deterioration is rather slow, thank you." And I understand that is to be an understated English way of saying, "I'm very well today. Thank you so much for asking." But we do know that deterioration actually happens, don't we? And I mean, it's just, it's so interesting. Deterioration is inevitable as human beings, isn't it? I mean, that's the experience that the psalmist has here. I would encourage you just to go back and to read Psalm 102, but you can see as you read through it, what you're going to see is you're going to see different verses. Verse 3, the psalmist says, "For my days pass away like smoke, my bones burn like a furnace." Verse 11 says this, "My days are like an evening shadow. I wither away like grass." That's our reality as human beings. That's the reality of the world itself. And then the psalmist kind of cuts to the heart of the issue in verse 25. And he says, "Of old you laid the foundation of the world, and the heavens are the work of your hands. They will perish. But you, God, will remain. You will change them like a robe, and they will pass away, but you stay the same." See, we as human beings, we are changing. We are declining. And I'm not meant to make you feel bad about yourself today. I mean, I've changed quite a bit over the years. I get that. Our world is changing. The Bible says that our world will not last. And the psalmist proclaims this glorious truth that God himself, in light of the fact that we change, the psalmist says that God doesn't change in contrast. He is very different. And you can read about those things over and over and over again in Scripture. It's the sentiment that the Bible affirms again and again. Malachi chapter 3 verse 6 says, "I, the Lord, do not change. You, O descendants of Jacob, despite all your sin, despite all your unfaithfulness, despite all your rebellion, are not destroyed." James 1, 17. "Every good and perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of the heavenly lights, who does not change." Hebrews 13, verse 8. "Jesus Christ is the same yesterday and today and forever." So the immutability or the unchangeability or however you want to say it, this is a wonderful Bible truth. This is one of the amazing things about God. This is one of the amazing attributes. I wish we had more time to talk about it. But this is basic Christian orthodoxy. The idea that God does not change. And believers like you and me, we have understood and we have affirmed this throughout church history. But I think it's important in the time that we have left just to understand, you know, if we truly believe that God is the same yesterday, today, and forever, if we believe that God does not change, then what does that mean for us? What are the implications? There are innumerable implications, but let me give you four, okay? Really quickly, let me give you four implications about what it means that God is immutable. The fact that God is immutable, that God is unchangeable, that he never changes, means that his character does not change. If God is immutable, go to the next one there, Aaron. If God is immutable, it means that his character is unchanging. His character never changes. I know it seems simplistic or simple to say that, but that is true. The truth about the immutability of God means that we know that he will be from day to day the same. We know that from day to day, from the beginning of our life to the end, he will treat us and interact with us exactly the same. We know that God never has bad days. He never wakes up on the wrong side of the bed. as his people, we are not subject to divine whims and divine mood swings. You know what? You watch movies about Greek mythology, or you read books about it, or you read stories about other world religions and their gods. You know what you're going to find over and over again? You're going to find these little gods who are moody and proud and vengeful and subject to the whims of the people. That is not what the Bible tells us who God is. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. That's what the writer of Hebrews says. He is going to behave towards you as he did towards the believers who have gone before you in days gone by. The Bible tells us that God is going to be gracious, that he is going to be kind, that he is going to be forgiving. He's going to do that today just like he did yesterday, and he's going to do that tomorrow just like he's doing that today. He is going to bear with you. He is going to be forgiving with you. He is going to persevere with you. He is going to sustain you. He is going to be all things to you that he has been to all people. Deuteronomy chapter 32, Moses told this about the Lord to the people. He said, "I will proclaim the name of the Lord. Oh, praise the greatness of his God. He is the rock." His works are perfect, and all his ways are just. A faithful God who does no wrong, upright and just is he. I mean, Moses is basically kind of giving us this picture that God is like a rock, because a huge rock is something that is not often moved, if ever. Big rocks, they just don't tend to move. And the image of the rock points us to this idea of stability with God, trustworthiness of our unchanging God in a world that we live in that changes all the time. The truth is that we need to know the God who does not change. We need to know that God doesn't change. We need to know this God, because this is a God that we can rely on. And it could be that you're here this morning and you are in a state of chaos. Or you are experiencing a time of disappointment or grief or overwhelming change, and you just need some stability. Maybe you're not a believer here this morning, but you've come here because you are in search of something. In a very changeable and a very confusing world, you need some stability. Well, this is what I have to tell you today. The God that we worship here at the West End Community Church is a God you can trust. Because he never changes. He offers you security and stability, and he offers you unchanging love, steadfast love. It comes through his character, and it was the same yesterday. It's the same today, and it will be the same tomorrow. The Bible tells us that God is unchanging. He is immutable. His character is unchanging. Here's the second thing. Not only is his character unchanging, but his standards are unchanging. And the fact that God is immutable means that his standards, the standards by which he lives, exists, it means that his, if God is unchanging, then the standards by which that he holds dear are also unchanging. What the immutable God says is right in Bible times is right in the 10th century, in the 20th century, in the 21st century. The point is that God's standards don't change from year to year, from age to age, from century to century, millennia to millennia. His standards never change. I mean, obviously, we do things differently than they did in the tabernacle. There's a lot less slaughtering in the West End Community Church than there was in the Tabernacle. That was meant to be a joke. I don't know if you caught that or not, but we don't sacrifice as much or if at all, unless it's a bad sermon, I guess. I'm not sure. But you know what I mean? I mean, those sorts of things change, but God's moral law, his moral standard, the standard which he calls you and me to, it never changes. The Ten Commandments are as relevant today as they were when they were written. Psalm 119, verse 89 says this, "Your word, Lord, is eternal. It stands firm in the heavens. Your faithfulness continues through all generations. You establish the earth and it endures. Your laws endure to this day, for all things serve you." The word of God is unchanging. His laws are eternal. And what the psalmist is talking about is this moral law, his moral standard. And that's a very important fact. Because think about this. Think about the world that we live in today. And think about the world 5 years ago. And think about the world 5 years before that. And think about how culture has shifted in all that time. Do you know in the last 10 years, in the last 20 years, we have gone from a nation where abortion was frowned upon to now it's a right, assisted dying, the right to die, all those sorts of things. My point is this: there are things that are happening in our world. There's an attack on the sanctity of life, whether it is in the womb or whether it is at the end of life. There are shifting changes with sexuality that are happening in our world, and there is confusion all the way along, all along the spectrum, and every day those things change, and there is pressure by culture that you need to accept it, and if you don't accept it, you're a bigot. And there's pressure from our government to accept it. There is pressure from all sides that are pressing in on you, and they're saying, you need to be this way. You need to change your thinking. And it is contrary. It is absolutely 180 degrees different than what the Bible is telling us. And yet what we know to be true, and what I'm saying to you today, is that God's standard never changes. His view on life, on the sanctity of life, it never changes. And we have to ask ourselves, how are the values of this world, how are we consuming those values? And are we just blindly accepting them? Or are we sitting up and taking note? Are we abandoning the unchanging standards of the Word of God? Or are we slipping? Or are we taking those standards and we going, well, maybe God didn't quite mean that? If we're asking ourselves that, that's dangerous ground to be on. Because I can guarantee you that God's standards never change. And so what do we do to those things? What do we say to the government, and what do we say to culture when they say, well, you need to accept this and you need to accept that and you need to do this and you need to do that? What do you say? Psalm 102, "Your word, O Lord, is eternal and it stands firm in the heavens. Your laws endure to this day." My point is this: God is immutable and so are his standards. Here's the third thing. If God is immutable, then his purposes are unchanging. Do you know, I find it hilarious. I don't find this hilarious, actually. But I don't know how it happens. But do you ever notice in government or in this or that or whatever it is, certainly in politics, okay? So we have one government, and they come in, and uh, they they don't like the government that came before them, and they change everything, carte blanche. They just kind of change this and that. And they set up different things, and they said, oh, well, that government did that. We don't like that, so we're going to change that. And we're going to, no, that's going to be canceled. We're going to do this instead and all that. And then the next election, another government comes in, and then the same thing happens. And things are canceled, and things are started, and all those sorts of things. My point is, things are constantly changing. It's just like our world. Everything is changing. Every government that comes in has different purposes and different things that they want to highlight, different things that they want to emphasize. I mean, that's the beauty of democracy, I guess. It's the way things work. But how different is that with the God of the universe? Because his plans for this world, his plans for the church, his plans for his people, they never change. I mean, you can go all the way through the Bible. You can see the different purposes. I don't think it can be summed up better than in Philippians chapter 2, where it says, therefore God exalted him, that is, exalted Jesus in the highest place, and gave him the name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee would bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Do you know what God's grand purpose for the universe is? It's to bring all things under the headship of his appointed king, the Lord Jesus Christ. It's that every knee would bow and every tongue would confess, either in grace or in judgment, that Jesus Christ is Lord. But make no mistake, whether it is grace or it is judgment, every knee will bow. That's the great, grand, divine purpose for the universe. That's what God is doing. And his purpose hasn't changed one bit. He has promised that all along. It's what he's been doing all along, and it's what he's doing now. And you and I, we change our plans daily, minute by minute. We are fickle creatures, but God is not like that. God, Numbers chapter 23, God is not human that he should lie, nor that the Son of Man that he should change his mind. Does he speak and then not act? Does he promise and not fulfill? The answer is no. And if we hold those truths against this chaotic and ever-changing world that we live in, how amazing it is against that backdrop to think that God's purposes and God's plans are entirely constant. They never change. How reassuring it should be to us that the eternal God does not change his mind. And for us, for you and for me here today, that means that we know for certain that we should be investing our lives in what we should be living for each day. What we should be investing in is to know that God's purposes is to exalt Jesus Christ as king and to bring all people in submission to Jesus. So what should our main priority be in light of that? And to know that God's purpose for this world is to exalt Jesus Christ, what should our purpose be? I think it's simply this. We need to submit to the Lord Jesus Christ. We need to live for his honor and for his glory. And if I'm pursuing that each day in the power of the Holy Spirit, I think that I'm probably heading in the right direction. And given what we know about God's plan for the universe, shouldn't our main priority be to make sure that all the people around me want to know Jesus as well? To want to have them submit to him as king on the final day? I want the people around me to be able to submit to God in grace rather than in judgment. We don't need to fear that we might invest in following Jesus all our lives. Think about this. We do not need to fear that if we follow Jesus now and for the, you know, to the best of our ability for our whole lives, we come to church every Sunday or whatever, and we don't need to fear that if we invest our lives in following Jesus and proclaim Jesus throughout all our days, we don't need to fear to only discover at the end that God has actually changed his mind and he's doing something different. He canceled that salvation program and he's doing something much different. We don't ever need to fear that because he doesn't change his mind, ever. The purposes of God are unchanging because he is immutable. Here's the last thing. The promises of the immutable God never change. The promises never change. We are human beings, and we are great at making promises, aren't we? Oh, man, we promise things every day. We're not always very good at keeping the promises, though. That's true of all of us, but let me just go back to politics. A guy by the name of Bob Hawke, he was the Australian Prime Minister. 1987, he promised that in 3 years, no child in Australia would be living in poverty. That was a grand promise, and it actually got him elected, but the problem persists even today. Newt Gingrich campaigned for the U.S. presidency with the promise of establishing a colony on the moon by 2020. Has not happened yet. He was not elected either, so I guess we missed out. There's a guy by the name of Vermin. This is true. His name is Vermin, like a vermin, like a rat. Vermin Supreme. That's his name. Vermin Supreme. He has run regularly for offices in the United States political scene since the 1980s. Some of his campaign promises over the years, I just highlight two. They include giving every citizen in the United States a pony and offering every sick person a free bus ticket to Canada. Seriously, this is what this guy has promised. He never got elected, but I mean, we make promises all the time as human beings. We are reckless with our promises. We are prone to breaking our promises. And because we know how bad we are at keeping promises, we've grown accustomed to doubting the promises that other people make and keeping promises ourselves. But the unchanging God is entirely unlike that. He's completely different than us. Excuse me. Jesus is the confirmation of that. He promised a savior. God promised a deliverer throughout the Old Testament, and Christ the deliverer came just as God said he would come. And because those promises have now been fulfilled, we know that an unchanging God is faithful to all that he says. Now, let me just say this as I close our time. If we believe that God is immutable, if we believe that he is unchanging, if we believe that his character, his standards, his purposes, and most importantly, his promises. If we believe that those things never change, we got to stop just for a sec, and we have to remember that there are two sides to that coin. There is a negative side and a positive side to this truth, to these truths. Here's what I mean by that. Proverbs 11:21 says this, "Be sure of this, the wicked will not go unpunished." Ephesians chapter 5, verse 5, "For of this you can be sure, no immoral, impure, or greedy person, such as a man, as an adulterer, has any inheritance in the kingdom of God and Christ. Let no one deceive you with empty words, for because of such things, God's wrath came on those who are disobedient. So when we hear warnings of judgment, warnings of punishment, we always hope, whenever my dad said, go to your room and I'll be in there in a minute, there was always this hope that we would just talk things out. It rarely, really happened that way. My dad was quite immutable. But we always have this hope, the cops will never give me a ticket if I just go 23 over the limit or whatever. My parents will never ground me for doing that. That's the way we think. We think that the bark is often worse than the bite. And truthfully, often it is, right? It's true. How often do we transfer that logic to God, though? The grace of God will never actually condemn me for that. Culture believes that. How can a God of love send people to hell? The God of love would never send sinners to hell. He would never do that. My point is this. There is a negative side to the truth that God's promises are unchanging. We need to hear that if we somehow imagine that God will never carry through on his promises to judge sin, we are completely wrong. If we imagine that he doesn't really have it in him to deal with sin, well, no, that's not true, because God's promises are unchanging. And he promises to judge sin. And he tells us in his word that the only place of safety when the judgment comes will be to find refuge in Christ by trusting him in now. That's the negative side. If we believe this to be true, we need to believe that God is not willing that any should perish, but there will be some that will choose to reject. And God, make no mistake, will judge sin. But that follows. The negative side takes us to the positive side. Deuteronomy 31:6 says, be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid or terrified because of them, for the Lord your God goes with you, and he will never leave you. He will never forsake you. Come to me, all you who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. John 11:25, I am the resurrection and the life, and he who believes in me will live even though he dies. And whoever lives and believes in me will never die. We could go on and on and on. The word of God is filled with the great and the precious promises of God. It is from cover to cover. And the fact that our God never changes tells us that we can trust each and every promise that he has made. We can take them to the bank. He is the God who is going to deliver us on the final day. And at the core of our ability to trust God is to know God is the unchanging, the immutable one. It is a vital and a glorious truth. Nothing in all the universe has the capacity to bring even the tiniest alteration to the eternal God. He is the same yesterday, today, and forever. We know his word is true. We know his character is unchanging. We know his standards and his purposes and his promises will never change. 100% dependable. That's the God that we serve. Amen? Amen. Let's pray. Father, be with us now as we go from this place. Thank you for these moments that we could spend with you. And we thank you for your word. We thank you that you never change. We thank you for your many gifts, and one of them, your gifts of our mothers. And we honor them today. We thank you for that. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Would you stand with me? Jude says, now to him who is able to keep you from falling, to present you before his glorious presence without fault, with great joy. To the only God, our Savior, be glory, majesty, power, and authority now and forevermore. I want to say on behalf of Pastor Matt and myself, Claudette and Beth, we just want to say happy Mother's Day. Thanks for being here this morning. You're dismissed.